Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice. This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them not to tell anyone about what they'd seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Our Gospel today begins with 6 days later. 6 days later than what? Well, let's go back in time those 6 days. 6 days before, Jesus had asked his disciples, so who do people say that I am? And they said, well, some people say that you're Elijah, some say that you're another prophet. And then Jesus said, so who do you say that I am? And Peter said, well, you are the Messiah. But the next thing that happens is that Jesus tells them that he's going to die. He tells them that he is going to suffer, die, and be raised on the third day. And Peter, this very one who has declared him to be the Messiah, takes him aside and reprimands him. Oh, no, Lord, this is never going to happen. This is not going to happen to you. And Jesus' response is, get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. And so Jesus has a number of people following him. As we've heard, the crowds just keep gathering and gathering and gathering. So you have this massive number of people who are following Jesus. You have about 70 who are true disciples. From that, you have the 12 apostles. And then you have this core group that gets called aside periodically. And they are Peter, James, and John. I always wonder about Peter's brother Andrew, also one of the first called, and he seems to get left out. But Peter, James, and John, and they're led up to a high mountain. And there they see an astonishing sight. They see Jesus radiant before them. One of the things that I've read over and over in commentaries is that one of the challenges that we have is not to try to explain the transfiguration, but instead to stand or sit or kneel in wonder at what is occurring. What Jesus is doing is showing these three a glimpse of what is going to happen, a glimpse of the glory of God. Many of them, this great crowd, have come to believe that he is indeed the Messiah, but they don't really know what that means. They're expecting a different sort of Messiah, one who is going to raise an army and free them from the worldly oppression. And they don't realize that this Messiah is going to suffer and die for them, for all of us. So to these three, Jesus appears in glory. There are so many Old Testament images that are wrapped up here, taking them on a high mountain. High mountains are where people encounter God. It was on a high mountain that Isaac was almost sacrificed but instead, Jesus, instead, God sent a ram whose horns were caught in a thicket. This is a prefiguring of Jesus. On a high mountain, Moses received the Ten Commandments. All sorts of things related to God happen on high mountains. And the words that they hear, these words that they hear come from a cloud again reminding them of the presence of God, such as a cloud that appeared, that enabled the Israelites to move across the desert during those 40 years. We hear of clouds. We think of God. And when we hear that the cloud overshadowed them, where have we heard that one before? The overshadowing. We last heard it when we talked about Mary being overshadowed. It is the power of God. And the words that they hear in that cloud, "This is my son, the beloved." Where have we heard those words? We've heard similar words at Jesus' baptism. "You are my son." And then we have the charge, "Listen to him." And I think we need to hear those words, "Listen to him." Because I think many of us want to do the same thing that Peter wanted to do. We want to speak and we want to act when what we need to do is listen. We're told Peter doesn't know what he's saying. He doesn't realize the magnitude of what he's saying when he talks about building three dwellings or building three tabernacles, depending on how you translate it, when there's no need. The tabernacle is already there. Tabernacle is Jesus. He wants to do something when what he needs to do is listen. Because he's going to need this image to get him through those difficult days that lie ahead. Because they can't stay on the mountain, and they don't stay on the mountain. Almost as soon as he says, "Let us build these three dwelling places," the cloud comes down, the voice is heard, and then they look around and no one is there but Jesus, who charges them not to say anything about what they've seen until after what he has stated will happen happens, that he will die and be resurrected. This image of Jesus in his glory is an image that they can hold on to. And yet we watch Peter, that man of faith, slip, even with this vision in his mind. But we hear him later on as he's writing a letter to the churches, and he describes what he has seen. Because now he understands and believes. After the resurrection, he understands and believes and wants the entire world to understand and believe with him. Today is the last day that we hear Alleluia for a while, because we enter the season of Lent beginning on Wednesday, that time of preparation for the great feast of Easter. During the season of Epiphany, we've heard stories that tell us who Jesus is. Stories that reveal who he is. We've heard the stories of him healing someone with an unclean spirit by speaking to the spirit, healing Peter's mother-in-law by touching her and lifting her up. And during the time of Lent, we will hear additional stories of who he is and why he came and why it matters to us today. We need to do what that voice in the cloud from God told us to do, to listen to him, to acknowledge that Jesus is indeed the Son of God, the Messiah, our Savior, and he speaks, and we need to listen. He speaks in his word, And we need to read it. We need to listen to it. And when we aren't sure what to say or what to do, we need to pause in silence and listen to his voice speak. Lent can be a difficult time as we acknowledge what is going to face Jesus. That what he has foretold about his suffering and death will come to pass. But we also have to hold in our minds that his suffering and his death weren't the end of the story. That his resurrection will come on that great day that we call Easter. That in him we place our hope. As that beautiful hymn by the Bell Choir spoke to us, saying, he is our all in all. In the darkness of this world, where do we find our light? We find our light in the hope and the promise of God. During the days ahead, in our own lives, and as we walk through the season of Lent, we need to listen to Jesus and to focus on the light that shines in the darkness. Jesus is that light for all the world. Amen.